It's good to see each of you this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. We always want to take note of that and let you know that we're glad you're here. As you've heard it said many times, we'll be moving to the new building next week. And the building, this building and that building, both belong to the Lord. We're stewards of them. And I hope we've been good stewards. And that we will be good stewards. And with that in mind, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Holy Father, which art in heaven, we're grateful unto you for the blessings of life. We realize that buildings in which we meet are brick, mortar, and stone, but they, in a special sense, belong to you, that they were purchased with your money by your people. We're thankful for this building and the good that it has served in the many years that brethren have met here. We're thankful for the many gospel sermons, thousands of them, that have been preached here. We're thankful for all the preachers, all the teachers of the Bible classes, and all the many lessons that have been taught in those classes. We're thankful for the elders who have served through the years and have guided this church in the paths of truth. We're thankful for the deacons who have served along with them and doing the various works that need to be done. We're thankful, Father, for all the souls who have obeyed the gospel here and have become Christians. We're thankful for their growth. We pray your blessings on them wherever they might be at this time. Help us as we move into the new building, as we see this milestone, realizing that we were landlocked here and not able to enlarge here. We're thankful for the growth, and we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it. We pray that we will continue to serve you and as stewards and also as workers in your vineyard. Help us to always have the right attitude toward your word and toward you and toward each other. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a subject that we often sing about. I want to be a worker for the Lord. And there are several things in that song that need our attention. I want to be a worker for the Lord. One of them says, I want to be a worker every day. And we sing these songs, and we need to really mean them. Every day we need to be workers for the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. There are situations that call for strength and call for bravery. And we need it in those times. And we sing about it. We need to pray for it as well. And these are some of the best known and often sung songs of praise that I can think of. They engage in some good teaching and admonishing. And there's some of the old standard songs that were written at a time when there was more respect for the Word of God than there is today. I'm not saying that songs being written today are inferior in any way. But I know the times in which they're written. And I sometimes feel that we don't really understand the powerful words of these simple lines. And it seems more and more that we don't like to associate the word work with religion. And we often go to church, so to speak, to what we can get out of it. And if it doesn't make us feel good, then it's not what we want. When really it's about Him, not so much about us. And so keeping that in mind, perhaps we're afraid to emphasize works, lest it should be said that we don't believe in grace, because that's often an accusation. We don't believe in grace, that we somehow can earn our salvation. We can't earn our salvation if we work from now till doomsday, so to speak. We can't earn it. Does that mean we shouldn't work? No, the Bible commands us to work. Whatever be the case, we want to make some observations as we think about this subject, and we want to point out that great things can be accomplished by work. Great things have been accomplished by work, and we want to notice what some of those things are. First of all, as we think about God's creation, back there in the book of Genesis, thus the heaven and the earth were completed, and all their host. By the seventh day, God completed His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. God is a worker. Should we be surprised if he calls upon us to do some work? We shouldn't be. God is a worker. Furthermore, we notice some things about Jesus when we think about this. Christ's mission, when he came to the earth, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus was a worker. We shouldn't be surprised if we're called upon to be workers. "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17 and verse 4. So when we think about God and the creation, we think about Christ. God also worked through the apostles. You heard that read a few moments ago in Ephesians chapter 3 by Brother Dean, that the apostles were given a work to do, and they did a great job of it. They preached the gospel to the whole inhabited earth at a time when they didn't have the mass media, they didn't have the internet, they didn't even have PA systems, anything like that, but they went about preaching and were able to spread the gospel throughout the whole inhabited earth, according to Colossians 1 and verse 23. Also, we want to point out that work is a part of God's plan for us. So that's why I said we shouldn't be surprised. Every promised blessing imposes upon man a command to be obeyed, and then also a work to be performed. And faith alone has never been sufficient for God. When you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, almost every verse begins, "By faith, Noah or Abraham or Moses or Rahab or somebody did something, and then they were blessed." The blessing came after the faith plus whatever it was God commanded them. Call it works, call it whatever you want to. These were God-ordained works, which they did. So a compliance to the command, doing the work that's commanded, is a demonstration of faith on the part of man. That's the way God designed it. And the granting of promised blessings is a demonstration of the grace of God. God always does his part. He's always there ready to bless every time we do his work. And so we show our acceptance by our works, our faith by our works. That's what James chapter 2 is about. And we show our acceptance of that. We show our faith by our works. In James 2 and verse 18, he talks about works. We're all familiar with verse 24, which says that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. But in the 18th verse of James chapter 2, it says, "Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I will by my works show thee my faith." Well, you really can't show faith apart from works. Faith is not something you can see. The works are what you see. And the works are the evidence of the faith. So we can't see faith by itself. That's the nature of faith. And so the Bible teaches us to have that. And I want to point out that there's a difference between work and worship. A lot of times people come to worship and they leave thinking, we've done the work of the Lord. No, the work hasn't begun yet. We go out and work for the Lord. And worship and work are not the same thing. They both bring glory to God. We need to do them. But the Bible discusses both of them distinctly from the other. And we need to do the same thing. We always point out that works alone will not save. We couldn't work enough to earn our salvation, especially works of our own invention. A lot of times people want to get by works of their own invention. But the Bible does teach that work God expects us to do is directly related to our salvation. After reading in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." So there are works that God wants us to do. There are many different kinds of works. When people talk about works, they need to identify what kind they're talking about. There are works of the flesh, which are condemned. There are works of man's invention, which will not result in our salvation. And there are even works of the devil mentioned in the Bible. But there are also the works which God ordained that we should walk in. And those are things that need to be done, that God requires of us. And we don't need to belittle them when we're condemning other kinds of works. So we need to distinguish the kind of works we're talking about. There are some works that God wants us to do, and we need to do them. When we talk about works, we want to point out that the finished product is what we're working toward. That's the goal toward which we work. The Bible tells us that God worked in creation and he finished his work. He completed it. The Bible says there in Genesis chapter 2. Also, God continued to work through Christ, and Christ finished his work. In fact, there are several places. We've already read some of those, John 4 and verse 34. In fact, notice all of these are in the book of John, which talk a lot about the works that Jesus did. In the fourth chapter and in verse 34, we quote, Jesus said, "My food is to do the work of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus said, "My purpose in coming is to accomplish the work God gave me to do." And in John 5 and verse 36, we also notice something else he said about works. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drink," let me get the right verse here, chapter 5, it is, and verse 36. "But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." So Jesus came to do works. Did he finish them or not? Well, in John 17, in his prayer, this was kind of his final prayer, except for the one on the cross, that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was about to be betrayed by Judas. Verse 4 says, "I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do." Jesus accomplished what he came to do. And so when some new religion is born and they claim that they've been sent with their prophet to finish the unfinished work of Christ, no, they're not finishing the unfinished work of Christ. Christ finished his work. He came and did exactly what God expected of him. He accomplished it. He tells us that over and over. Even on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And I think he meant the whole thing. My whole reason for coming here is finished. He said he accomplished the work God gave him to do. So whether it's Muhammad or Joseph Smith or somebody that claims a latter-day revelation that they've come into the world to finish the unfinished work of Christ, they haven't read the Bible. Christ finished his work. They may be doing somebody else's work, but not doing the Lord's work, because he finished his. And not only did Christ finish his work, God worked through the apostles, and Paul could say, "I have finished my course," in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. And today, God works through the church. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work," notice that, "continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing," murmuring, the King James says, "so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without faults, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly the word of life. And then will I be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain." Those verses say a lot about work or labor, don't they? That's involved. And so when you became a Christian, you became involved in a relationship that involved some work. But just remember, Christ worked. We haven't worked anything like he did. God worked. He continues to work. And we need to continue to work as well. We're told to abound in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Finally, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's not. We have that promise. But we're to abound in the Lord's work, but our work is not finished. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors." So until we're 6 feet under, our work goes on, doesn't it? It's blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They're the ones who are in the time of rest. And we haven't reached that place of rest yet. And so how does God work through the church? Well, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is how God works. He's appointed various works to be done, and they need to be done, whether they're high-profile cases or maybe unseen, and sometimes those are the most important ones. And we need to keep that in mind. Christ, as an agent of the Father, through our talents and opportunities and our dependence upon him, empowers us as individuals to exercise our own personalities, our own abilities, toward building up the church. That's what he gave us to do. Our object is to present the church to God as a full-grown man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, a finished product. That's what our work is. And it's not finished yet. And notice it says that we're to do that under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to present the church as is described as a full-grown man, as a mature thing, and to fully accomplish what Jehovah has given us to do. So what that involves is this: how God works through the church. You know, when Nehemiah came to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, we just read Ephesians chapter 4. When he came to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 that this was accomplished because the people had a mind to work. And it's surprising what can be accomplished if you get people on the same page as God, because that's what God wants of us. So when Nehemiah came to rebuild those walls, they were in such a state of disrepair that a horse could not walk through the streets. We read in chapter 2 and verse 14. He said the mount, the horse that I was riding on, couldn't get through the streets. However, in an incredible short time, just 52 days, according to chapter 6 and verre 15, the walls were rebuilt. How in the world could they accomplish rebuilding the walls when they didn't have these cranes and this modern equipment that we see when they're building buildings around here? How did they accomplish that in such a short time? Well, the answer is in chapter 4 and verse 6. For the people had a mind to work. And that's always the key. Now today in God's kingdom here upon earth, we're each given work to do. And there's a hymn that we sometimes sing: there is room in the kingdom for God, my brother, for the small thing that you can do. And there is, whether it's small or large or whatever you have the ability to do, we need to work toward that end. And so the Bible teaches us in Mark chapter 13 that we have a work to do. And there's an interesting passage there. It says, it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned work. Their assigned work. And tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And so we're watching for the return of the Lord. That's why we need to be working. That's why the Bible teaches us. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 4 and verse 13, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you. That's what Paul said to the people of Thessalonica. Also in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to every good work. Ready to every good work. Also in Titus 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. It's amazing how many times that word appears in the New Testament, isn't it? Have we noticed it, that it appears that many times? Well, we should, because it's beneficial to us, and so we make a list of those. Be willing to work with God. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1 tells us, working together then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Working together, and the togetherness there is not only with ourselves, but it's with God. We're workers together with God. And then give God the glory. Matthew 5, we let our light shine. We're the salt of the earth. And the reason for that is that God may be glorified, that they may see Christ in us, and that they may also want to do the same thing. And that's the thing, something we accomplish individually, is people seeing us work for the Lord and seeing the attitude that we possess toward it, and the fact that we are happy people and people who enjoy serving the Lord. That's attractive to others. But if we go around with a long face and all of that, then that's not going to be attractive. So religious labor extends the privilege of working with God. And when we're busily involved in working and working in, to advance the kingdom of the Lord, you know, we can be happy in the knowledge that we are workers together with God, that we are partners with Him. And that's what's stated there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We need to learn to work together as individuals, or be content to fall together. Either way, we're going to be together. But in Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 25, notice what the Lord said in that passage. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand." That's the need to work together, or else we fall. And so the principle of united we stand, divided we fall is taught in the Scriptures, and we need to always keep that in mind. In Philippians 2 and verse 2, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose," Paul says. And then in our last verse, we want to notice Matthew 20 and verse 8. We'll look at that in just a moment. There's a difference in letting our light shine and in shining our light. We've made that observation before. It's important that the world know that we preach Christ. We don't need to be ashamed of that. It's imperative that they know also that we practice what we preach, that we do that, and that we'll rehearse all that God has done through us. And so our purpose is to teach those New Testament principles that are laid down there and practice those things that are possible to practice and that are practical and workable today. And we can show that there's unity with autonomy through the New Testament church, just as we should. And that it's alive and well, and that God's people are happily going about His business, doing His work. And there's a reason why we do that. And that is because all will soon be done. Jesus talked about that. As I was working on this lesson last week, the sun was going down, I was reminded of the verse where Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, "We must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." And the hymn that we sang, "Work for the Night is Coming," is based on that passage. Notice the word "we" there. Jesus said, "We must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day." So we need to do that. And that, my friends and brethren, is what Christianity is all about. It's not a matter of strife about words to no profit as to who can come up with the most unheard of definition of a word and sharpening our swords on each other, anything like that. But rather it's growing together, and we'll stand face to face on that great day. And that brings me to some words of another hymn that we'll close with. "Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loved me so." And in Matthew 20 and verse 8, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.'" Well, there's a time coming when the Lord will reward us. We often pray that the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Those are the words we ought to long to hear. And we can hear them if we do the Lord's work here and now. This morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have a wonderful opportunity. And it's amazing that the Lord is continuing to be patient and has extended that opportunity for you if you need to obey the gospel. If you need to acknowledge sin in your life, to repent and be baptized into Christ, we stand ready and willing to help you, but the decision lies with you. We want to encourage you to do that. The Lord gives us all the motivation we need for that. We have to ignore it in order to bypass it. If you're a child of God and you haven't lived like you should, maybe you're not working like you should, maybe it's something you can take care of privately, I hope you will. But if it's something you need to acknowledge of a public nature, we hope you'll do that too as we stand and sing the hymn that's been selected.